Welcome to The Delivery Diaries with Vanessa Nag. This is a podcast about how families were started. Join us as we hear parents tell us their stories of how their children were delivered, whether that's through birth stories or adoption stories. Listen in as we laugh together, cry together, and learn together. In this week's episode, Kim and Brendan share the births of their three children. The day after leaving the hospital with their third, their city was hit by Hurricane Irma. Not only did they get hit by a hurricane, but Brendan had a hip replacement the day after the birth. Hey, Kim, welcome to the Delivery Diaries.
Hey, Vanessa, thanks for having me.
I'm so glad to have you. So do you want to start off and tell listeners a little bit about yourself and your family?
Okay, so my name is Kim McDonald. I have three kids. Gabe is 7, Scarlett is 5.5, and Jameson is 2.5. And my husband, Brendan, and we live in Naples, Florida.
Awesome. All right. Well, do you want to start out and tell us about your first pregnancy and then just go from there?
Sure. So when I was 22, I got pregnant for the first time and I had a miscarriage at about 11 weeks. So for me, I had just barely started dating Brendan, so it was kind of one of those things that happened. And I just woke up one morning, and I was sort of just kind of covered in blood. And I went to the doctor, and, you know, they did sort of the routine thing, what they do, you know, they check the baby, they check you, they make sure everyone's okay. And unfortunately for me, the baby had passed away in my sleep. So, and I didn't really have any forewarning of it. Like, I didn't have like any cramps, like I didn't fall, like I didn't get in a car wreck, like nothing had happened. My body just rejected it. Like, it just didn't grow it and it rejected it. That was a rough thing. My sister at that point had already like sent out baby shower invitations and stuff. So we had to kind of go through the process of retracting all of that. And then everyone has a million questions and what happened. And then the people who knew you were pregnant, who they didn't see you for 5 months, were like, where's your baby or what? Or, you know, so you kind of deal with it for a long time afterwards as well.
Yeah, you do.
So that happened. And then when I was 24, I got pregnant again with Gabe. And Gabe was, and so with all of my pregnancies, I was never one of those people who liked it. There was maybe a total of 1 month that it was good. And those were like collective days throughout the pregnancy, not one straight month. Like my sole purpose of being pregnant was survival. Like, I was always sick. My back always hurt. Like, it was just always terrible. So I was just not one of those people who loved being pregnant. Like I said, I would have like 2 days where I was like, oh wow, I have a huge belly, I'm so cute. And then I would just throw up the next day for the whole day. So it wasn't good. So with Gabe, I was pregnant and I was sick a lot. And I was losing a lot of weight, even though I was getting bigger in size. And it was like my first full pregnancy. So, you know, I didn't show for like 5 months. You know, it just didn't really show that much. And then I was really sick. And my doctor used to tell me, like, at this point, eat whatever you can keep down. Like, don't worry if it's like protein and fruit and carb, just anything you can keep down. So my first pregnancy, I really lived on like peanut butter and fluff sandwiches. If anybody remembers those sandwiches, those were like the thing you ate as a kid. And for some reason I could like stomach those. So I ate
them. Whatever works.
Yeah. And he was like, at this point, we want food in you. We don't care what it is.
Yeah.
So that lasted for about 4 weeks. That's what I lived on. And then slowly things kind of resumed as normal. And then he was due February 1st, 2013. And Christmas Eve of 2012, I went into labor. So I was 33 weeks and 6 days pregnant. And I went to the hospital at about 11 o'clock on Christmas Eve. And I had Gabe at 12:47. So my labor was about 3 hours at home, but I didn't know that I was in labor because I'd never been in labor first. All I knew is I was like, I just don't feel well. And then after a while it ramped up and I was like, okay, like I've always been in pain this whole pregnancy, but this is different. So yeah. I went, and then like an hour and 47 minutes later, I had a baby.
So were you having contractions at home, or did you just feel off?
I was having contractions. I just didn't know they were contractions. Like my stomach would hurt and then I would be okay. And mm-hmm. like my family was downstairs eating dinner for Christmas Eve and I was upstairs like not, just laying in bed. My sister-in-law came up. And actually with that, my husband's a musician. So he works a lot at night. And at that point, he was a new musician. So he was playing a lot till like 2 a.m. till the bars closed. So he wasn't home. So my brother-in-law took me to the hospital and he like came straight there, kind of a few beers in from his gig, and it was there. And so I had Gabe, so he was 6 weeks early and I only got to see him for a second and they took him straight to the NICU.
How long was he in the NICU?
He was in the NICU for 10 days.
Okay.
So as far as preemies go, that's not that long.
Right.
But for me, it was my first baby. Nobody's telling me what's going on. And it's Christmas. And I'm like, I don't have my baby. So it was a little like upsetting.
Yeah, that's hard.
So with him, I don't know if it's a state law or whatever, but in Florida, I should just say anyone before 36 weeks goes to the NICU for observation.
Okay.
Even if it's just for 2 days or whatever, but they just go there, they get like routine antibiotics. Mm-hmm. And then that was a thing. So the hospital that I gave birth at, which is the birthing center in Naples, they allow you to stay at the hospital for $20 a day if your baby's in the NICU.
Oh, wow.
So since I didn't have any other kids at home to rush home to, I got to stay there with Gabe all 10 days of his stay. Oh, so I was nice. Just like a hospital room across the hall, basically. So I would sleep and I would pump and I would try to nurse him, but they wouldn't let me nurse him for a couple days. So I would just pump and I would just go into the NICU for a couple hours and then they would kick me out, you know, for a couple hours because they wanted him to rest. They wanted to observe him and then I could come back in a couple hours. And so that was a little tricky to navigate through. The NICU is a sad place to be, you know. Gabe, I walked in one morning, I think the third day he was there, and he had an IV in his head. And I couldn't like get past the visual of it. It was horrifying to me. Because he was born 5 pounds, 11 ounces. So he was a pretty good size for being 6 weeks early. But he was still small and he's, you know, just tiny. And they put the IV in his head because they couldn't get an IV in his hand. And they said, we know it looks horrifying, but it was easier to get to and it caused him no more or less pain than anywhere else we would have put it. And at that point, I just have to trust what they say. So that was strange, but yeah. So I was pretty lucky for having a preemie following a miscarriage that had no complications. He was perfectly healthy. They released him after 10 days. Like I went in there and he was just sort of like in a basket under the lights for jaundice. An IV, but that was it. You know, there are other babies who are in there and they're in incubators and they're in warming pads and they have tons of tubes.
Right.
And it's super sad.
Yeah. Yeah. And did they say why he was premature or what happened?
Well, I don't know why he was premature, but I'll tell you that my next two pregnancies, they handled them as high risk.
Oh, really?
Because I had one miscarriage and one premature baby, they didn't know what was going to happen with any of the pregnancies I had. So they handled them as high risk and I would go for checkups like every 2 weeks instead of every 6 weeks and then 4 weeks and then 2 weeks, 2 weeks and 1 week. Mm-hmm. I just went 2 weeks all throughout the entire 9 months. So yeah. So, and then Gabe came home and he was fine, you know, so I was really lucky. I felt like for a bad scenario, I got the best scenario of a bad scenario. That was with Gabe. And yeah, now he's 7 and wild. Just wild. But you know, he's really smart and he's super healthy. So I'm really lucky with him.
That's so good.
When Gabe was 6 months old, I was pregnant again. I found out I was pregnant with Scarlett when Gabe was 6 months old. So it was a turnaround and it wasn't planned again. And it was interesting. it was hard. So people who have twins, I feel like they're on a whole nother level of parenting that I just couldn't survive. Because I have kids who are like a year and 3 months apart, and it felt so hard. So being pregnant and having Gabe as an infant was challenging because once again, I was just sick. I was just so sick and I couldn't like do anything without being sick. Like getting in the car made it worse, the motion sickness and everything like that. But my mom helped a lot and I had friends who helped me out. So, you know, I had like a support system that helped. And with Brendan being a musician, he was home during the day. So he did that. And then I had Scarlett and she was full term. I had like 38 and a half weeks. So she was full term. And she was 6 pounds, 10 ounces.
And how did you go into labor with her?
So with her, she, I think it was a Friday and I went to my 38 week checkup and he said, you're in labor. You need to go to the birthing center. And I was like, I can't be in labor because I'm fine. I had gotten a pedicure that morning and then went to my doctor's appointment. And yeah, he was like, you're in labor. He was like, you're 8 centimeters dilated.
8 already?
Yeah. And I wasn't having any contractions.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So in his office and the birthing center share a parking lot. So they're like, and I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go home, get my bag. I'll go to the birthing center. And he was like, no, you're going to go to the birthing center now. You're 8 centimeters dilated.
Oh my gosh.
And, of course, Brendan had a wedding to play that night. So he like brings his guitar and he's like changing his guitar strings while I'm laboring in the room. Because this was somebody's wedding. Like it's just as important as me having a baby. He can't just not show up. It's their wedding. So yeah. So I went, I got there at like 3:30 in the afternoon and I had her just after 6.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So he came in at, he said, I'll be there when the office closes unless they call me in. So he came at 5. He broke my water. He said, I have dinner reservations at 7. So let's get a move on.
Wow.
And at 6 o'clock I had her. Yeah.
And how was that? How was like pushing and stuff for you?
So with her, I didn't get an epidural because I was too far. They said I was past the point.
And you weren't feeling contractions at this point?
No. After he broke my water, it really like got hard.
Intense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It got really hard. It got really intense, but it was only for about 40 minutes from start to finish.
Wow.
So, I pushed like 3 times and out she came and she, you know, she looked like a gorilla. She was purple and hairy and you know, how they look and she was healthy and she got to stay in my room. They brought one of the carts in that had the lights for jaundice on it in my room. So she got to stay. Like, I know every hospital kind of handles things differently. Like, you know, my sister had kids and hers, like they took them to like a nursery under a light, like out of your room. But her, she got to stay with me. And all of my kids had jaundice. You know, I'm not sure actually what causes that or why you get it, but they all had it. And by the time we left, they all didn't. So it was fine. You know, they'd be like, let her nap next to the window to keep it down, the jaundice down or whatever. And yeah. So yeah, she was super quick and it hurt a lot and we all survived.
So you had an epidural with your first, but you didn't with your second.
I did not have one with Gabe.
Oh.
I do all my laboring at home, I guess. And by the time I'm like, let's go, you know.
It's too late for an epidural.
They're like, no. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's too late.
So how was that not having an epidural and pushing and feeling everything for you?
At one point I thought I was just going to die. So I was like saying my goodbyes to everybody. So I thought I was just going to rip in half and die, right? Like it's rough.
Yeah.
And anyone who hears this, who knows, they know.
Right. Yeah.
But the good thing about it is when it's over, it's over.
Yes. Right?
It doesn't linger. It doesn't last. It just, it's over. So yeah, it was pretty terrible. Yeah. But honestly, I feel like my pain of being sick was worse than the pain of delivery.
Really?
Like, yeah, you know, I'm sure, you know, other people who like their back just gets tweaked pregnant,
mm-hmm.
right? Like total like back pain, like my hips, like, you know, I just couldn't be comfortable standing, sitting. I couldn't drive for a long amount of time. Cause I just like, it just totally like threw me off.
Right. Everything hurt.
everything hurt, like, and you just can't be comfortable. I couldn't like stand up straight. So my back pain was pretty bad, but that was worse, I think, than the birth pain.
Wow.
Which is crazy, right?
Yeah. So that means you were in a lot of pain during your pregnancy.
Did you have other girls?
I did with Lincoln and I didn't with Henry.
Oh, so then you know too.
Oh yeah.
It's not, it's not okay.
No.
Yeah. And with them, it was interesting because Gabe didn't walk until he was about 16 months old. So for 1 month, I had a kid that didn't walk and an infant. So I was like carrying both. That was rough because, you know, Gabe doesn't understand. He was a baby and I don't want to, I can't carry him because I'm holding Scarlett. And now she's nursing and he's like, I want some. And I'm like, I can't like nurse. And that was the thing with Gabe is I nursed him for 8 months and then I put him on formula for like 2 months. And then I started giving him milk at 10 months, but because I was pregnant and nursing and I was like, I can't feed everyone, myself, Scarlett and Gabe. So he had to go, he had to be done. And then Scarlett, I nursed for a year.
And how'd that go? Was it always good with her?
Yeah, I got lucky with that. I was, all of my kids latched. I had tons and tons of milk. Like I was an overproducer. Like I would feed and then pump a bunch. So my freezer always had a ton. I was actually such an overproducer that my sister has twins. Don't know how she survived, but she did. She has twins and I went and visited her in Dallas and she wasn't able to breastfeed or produce enough for both babies. You have to have a lot, you know? So I would, while I was there, I would nurse Gabe and then I would nurse one of her twins. And I mean, she was cool with it. Cause I mean, it's so good for them and you know, and her and Brad were okay with it. So
that's awesome.
I had to get it out of me one way or another. So,
yeah. So why not?
Yeah. So I would just like switch on and off feedings with them cause I couldn't feed all three of them. So, and then about 3 years later, I got pregnant with Jameson. So he's my final forever. And his pregnancy was still rough. And then with him, he had an interesting birth story because we had a hurricane hit down here, like 2 days after I gave birth.
Oh gosh.
So like the day I came home from the hospital is the day the hurricane hit.
Oh wow.
And it was a big, big hurricane and it like destroyed the Keys and the eye went right over Naples. But luckily we didn't get the surge. The surge is, and hurricanes, like, you know, the wind and the rain can be destructive, but the surge after is what floods the towns. And we didn't get the surge. The surge went up to Tampa. So with him, I went into labor and, or actually with him, it was the same thing. I went for my 38 week checkup and he was like, you're dilated. Let's go to the birthing center. And I said, okay, well, how far am I? And I was only 3 centimeters dilated. And I said, and he's like, I'm going to come over and break your water. We'll get the show on the road. And this time I said, before you break my water, can I get an epidural? Like if I don't even want a chance not getting it. And if I don't have to feel anything at all, let's do it. Like, so he was like, okay. So I got my epidural and then he broke my water. So it was a really great experience. If I would have known, I would have gotten to the hospital sooner with the others because it was just easier. Yeah, I took a nap and, you know, me and the nurse were like watching Wheel of Fortune and we were having a great time. And it was really, you know, it was a lot better. And unfortunately with that one, my husband was home, but the very next day he was having his hip replaced.
Oh, gosh.
So he got in a skiing accident when he was younger. So he was like the youngest person in Naples to ever have their hip replaced.
Oh my goodness.
Normally it happens like in your 70s. And so I had Jameson and he was in the same hospital as me, just a different location. So he was in downtown. I was in uptown. And so he went in, got his hip replaced. The next day, me and Jameson left the hospital, went and visited him before going home with his hip replacement. And then the next day he came home, me and Jameson were home and the hurricane hit.
Wow.
So my mom, it was like the hardest week of my entire life. Like, my mom took Gabe up to Alabama, where my sister lived at the time. And I had Scarlett and Jameson, and I had a husband who can't go upstairs. He has to sleep on the couch. Like, that was just the game plan for like the first 3 weeks. He can't climb stairs. He could barely stand or walk. We had no power. My mother-in-law and brother-in-law and their dog came to our house because they lived further out in the Everglades. So they got way flooded. And so it was like up to me to sort of take care of the crew while recovering from being pregnant.
That's so hard.
What was the hardest part about it for me was not having power and sort of the hygiene that comes along with after having a baby. And it was hard. We had no running water. We had no AC. We had no lights. We had no power at all. So it was challenging for me to sort of survive that week.
For sure.
We had food. Like, everyone puts ice in their washing machines and then puts their food in there so that as the ice melts, it drains.
Oh.
Like water would.
Right.
A washing machine. You only open the fridge once a day because you're trying to keep all the cold in until the power comes back on.
Right.
And in the meantime, I'm trying to get my milk to come in, and we have no cell service because all the power is gone. So it was an interesting way to have a baby. And then Scarlett was three, so she's just a busy 3-year-old, and when you're trying to get things done around the house, you give your kid like, oh, you can watch a show for 30 minutes so I can cook or do laundry or anything. That wasn't available either. So, but luckily with a newborn, all they do is sleep. So that was an easy thing of it. Like, Brendan could just sit on the couch and hold the baby. He's not going anywhere anyways. So he held the baby punch, but it was very hot. It was in August in Florida, South Florida, with no power.
Oh my gosh.
So just the recovery of pregnancy and all the bleeding you do and being hot and not being able to take a shower was... Yeah. It was
so hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I had to call a friend who works for FEMA, and they were placing people in hotels because nobody had power. And I was like, I know we don't qualify for this. I don't need to stay overnight. I just need to get to a bathroom. Like, I need to take a shower. I need to bring my baby. I need to washcloth my baby. And at this point, I'm just using bottled water and galloned water, but we don't know when the power is going to come back on. There's no gas. There's no food. There's no nothing in the stores because gas trucks didn't come down here to fill up because they didn't know if they'd be able to get out before the hurricane hit. So you're really saving your resources. So I had to call them and be like, I need to come to your hotel and your room that you're staying in. I need to come use your bathroom because y'all have water and I need some care.
Yeah.
And they let me, so I got to go for about 2 hours and they had AC and they had water and all that stuff. So we got to shower up and kind of have a little bit of a break. And then we were without power for about 3 days.
Wow.
And then there were a lot of people in Naples that didn't have power for a week, 10 days. Luckily the community I live in is in between a fire station and a hospital. So we're on a grid that would come back first. So that was, again, I guess the best case of a bad scenario. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, it sucks and you don't want to be there, but what choice do you have? It's just happening. And you just, it's like when people say, oh my gosh, how do you have three kids? I could barely handle two. Well, if you had three, you just would.
You just figure it out.
Right. You just do.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Wow.
Interesting. Yeah. And everyone stocks up on crackers because there's nothing else that's going to survive, not being refrigerated or whatever. But yeah, so with them and babies are resilient, kids are resilient, right? So Scarlett, she did fine. She colored a million pictures and the little bit of spare batteries we had and backup modems we had, we let her watch a movie on a laptop. But then when it died, we were out until then. But worked. I mean, my milk supply definitely didn't come in as heavy with him. And I don't know if it was stress. I probably didn't eat and drink as much as I normally would have if the circumstances would have been different. But I was still able to nurse him fully, just nursing him. I didn't have to supplement him at all.
Well, if you had any advice or any bits of wisdom for any other mothers, what would you want to say to them?
So based off of my experience, I would say the second you're in labor, go to the hospital. Just labor at the hospital because they'll give you all the ice chips you want and an epidural. And, you know, I think that I know plenty of moms who have plenty of healthy babies who do a million things when they're pregnant, mm-hmm. but I would really just not. When they say don't lift things over 20 pounds, just don't do it. You know, like just really like take it easy. And I would also say like, just allow yourself like grace, like, right. We're all people. We're all just trying to survive and make it through. And, you know, if you're pregnant and you're tired, don't clean your house. Just take a nap. It doesn't matter, you know, and if you have other kids and their toys are everywhere, guess what? Anyone who comes to your house knows you have kids. They probably have toys. They're not going to be shocked, you know? So just, you know, allow yourself to be however you are like that day. You don't have to keep up with anything. And I'm not saying let your like house and life go to shambles or anything, but like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, and being pregnant is hard. But you know, and it's like, it is true though. And it only lasts a little while.
It does.
Like you're only pregnant. The longest you'll be pregnant is 9 months. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be shorter. Like your kids are only home for 5 years and then they don't have a choice. They have to go to school. So everything is just like a phase and a stage. And it's like,
that's so true.
So cliche, but it really is true. So, you know, and I think about this with Jameson, like your last baby is like bittersweet because mm-hmm. it's like, this is the last time I'll ever celebrate a 2-year-old's birthday party. That's mine. And so on those days where I'm like super annoyed by everyone and everyone's complaining and crying about the color of their plate, I just like have to remind myself, like one day I'm gonna have to like drag them out of their rooms. So, I mean, I don't care. I'm not trading your plate out, but it's okay that you're yelling about it.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your stories.
No problem. So this is my husband, Brendan.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm pretty good.
Good. Well, I just heard Kim tell me the births and how everything went with her. And I just wanted to see if you want to give a little bit of your perspective of, you know, how you helped her during pregnancy and labor and what you thought of everything. So whenever she called you and said she was in labor, what was your first reaction?
My brother-in-law called me. I was at a gig and because Kim was in labor, so she couldn't call. So he called me. I was on stage and I packed it up and rushed over there.
So with him being early, what did you think about that? Were you scared or...
I remember, you know, feeling like
he was optimistic for sure. He was more like comforting. Where I was more like freaked out. Like, where is he? What's happening to him? You know, the only abnormality that he had was he kind of had like a weird shaped head. Uh-huh. But I think it's kind of common.
Yeah.
With babies.
Yeah.
Like with like a long like football.
Yeah.
Head.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But Brendan, you know, his two other kids were here. So they were still gonna wake up and expect Christmas. They were like 12.
I remember that, you know, the doctors and the nurses, they were like, you know, He's healthy. He's a healthy kid. You know, he just has to be in the ICU because he was born at a certain time, 6 months, whatever it was. But
yeah,
I had confidence in that.
I mean, they did all say that and they were reassuring, but I was still kid. Actually over New Year's. So he was a week old at New Year's. Mm-hmm. Brendan had to like force me to leave the hospital. Do you remember that? Like, I just wouldn't leave the NICU. And he wanted to go to a New Year's party. And he's like, you know, he's with the best babysitters in the whole world. Like, you can't go back in there for 3 more hours anyways.
Yeah.
Like, let's get out. Let's go have dinner. Let's do something. You can't just stay in the hospital and never leave until he leaves. Because I just didn't leave.
So tell me about the birth right before the hurricane.
Kim was so freaked out with the hurricane that, you know, I just had to, you know, I was like boarding up the sliding glass doors with the, with like some old bed we found next door and, you know, just getting everything all the shutters bolted down. And, I thought it was a cool time. It was exciting.
How different are our answers?
The perspectives are very different, and this is why I love it.
I've never heard any of this,
I couldn't go up and down the stairs for a few days, so I just pretty much had the couch and little Jameson just kind of like fit into my hand, and it was a good time.
So you weren't nervous or anything about the hurricane?
I really wasn't. I grew up in this town, and I've been through a lot of hurricanes.
Okay.
What hurricane was it? What was the name?
Irma.
Hurricane Irma.
Oh.
So it was like a big one.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was nerve-wracking because they said we were going to get a 15-foot storm surge and all of the coast of Naples would be destroyed,
mm-hmm.
which is
a stressful,
strange thing to hear.
Yeah.
Because Naples never really gets hit that hard. Hurricanes always hit the East Coast. And then by the time they hit us, they've calmed down quite a bit. We don't normally get a surge, but anyway, it caused me to kind of go online and look up the, various elevations of Naples, and see where the flood zones were. And that's when I discovered that we live in the highest elevation of Naples.
Our community is called Summit Place because we're the highest elevated neighborhood in Naples.
But I didn't put it together until I actually looked at that. Because, I mean, Naples is flat. So when I say we're the highest elevation in Naples, that means like 4 feet above sea level.
Yeah, it's nothing. It's yeah.
But
I was telling her, for me, it was stressful because of like, I just had a baby, hygiene. We had no power, no water.
Yeah.
You know, for him, he could just be stinky for 3 days. He's a guy, right? Like, but.
Yeah, I mean, when the eye of the hurricane was over us, that was when we were supposed to get that big giant storm surge on the second side of it. I got in my Jeep. I hobbled into my Jeep and I started driving toward the beach because I wanted to see what was happening. I was like waiting for the wall of water to appear, but it never came. The storm surge never came. A big crazy time.
Yeah. Well, so Brendan has 5 kids, so he's been through 5 births, and, you know, they've all just been different. And he's been the same through all of them.
You seem very optimistic through all of them, which is good. You always need that optimism, especially during stressful times.
Yeah, I try not to worry too much, at least out loud.
And he's not wrong. I was freaked out on the outward side of my body.
For sure.
It was very loud. Like, I was going to leave with Jameson. And I'm like, how am I going to travel with a 2-day-old baby? You know, and there were no flights. Everything was sold out because everyone was evacuating. So he said, just stay. We'll be fine.
Well, if you wanted to share any advice for dads or partners.
You gotta do your best to be there and to, you know, I think it helps to keep it cool, right? And do whatever you have to do. Do whatever either you're asked to do or you see that you have to do, but most importantly, just try to be cool.
Yeah. You sound pretty laid back, which is good.
He is. He's just a musician. You know, he's a chill musician.
Well, thank you guys so much for sharing and taking the time out of your night.
For sure. Thanks for having me, Vanessa.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Delivery Diaries. If you are loving The Delivery Diaries birth and adoption stories, it would mean so much if you could leave a review on your favorite podcast app. If you'd like to see pictures from this week's episode, head over to @The Delivery Diaries on Instagram and Facebook.